I was chosen to give a briefing right after lunch. Might be a little challenging, but I can always blame lunch if you fall asleep. Okay. I would like to thank the Ministry of Freedom Forum Berlin and the Business Panel Association for inviting me here. The Iran-Israeli relations are a very serious matter. So allow me to start with a little anecdote. A mysterious banner advertising the opening of the Iranian embassy in Tel Aviv raised wide speculation in August 2015. It soon turned out to be a PR ploy for an upcoming Israeli comedy called Atomic Falafel. The poster reading, "The Iranian embassy in Israel will open here soon," generated great interest, not just in Israel, but among Iranian news websites as well. In a post entitled "Islamic Republic's Flag in Tel Aviv," the hardline Parsina website wrote that, despite Prime Minister Netanyahu's objection, several Israelis expressed support for the nuclear agreement and added that the placard was hung up by residents of the Zionist regime who called themselves Friends of Peace. The reports in Iran about the new sign in Tel Aviv raised mixed reactions among Iranian users on the internet. Although many of them seriously doubted that diplomatic relations between Iran and Israel would be established soon, others claimed that in politics, anything is possible. Some of them expressed Iran's well-known official stand, which negates Israel's very existence, and argued that a battle against Israel and Zionism must continue until Palestine is liberated. "We will not recognize Israel until our last drop of blood. Iran's flag will be flown in Tel Aviv after its liberation, with God's help. And I swear that even if ties with Israel are established, I will not set foot in that country." This is only a sample of the reactions. Other users, on the other hand, expressed a different stand on the Israeli PR campaign. Some of them even wished for relations with Israel to be established. Some Iranian users expressed their appreciation for the people who put up the poster, which indicates the Israeli desire for peace. "Congratulations to the peace-loving citizens of Iran and peace lovers all over the world," wrote one of them. One user went as far as to write that it is doubtful whether a similar sign could be posted in Tehran. Others wondered about the justification for continuing to demonstrate hostility towards Israel while the Arabs and even Hamas have been showing willingness to reach agreements with it. Some of the reactions expressed deep hatred for the Arabs, contending that they cannot be relied upon, and recalling the support of the Arab countries and the Palestinians for Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq war. While these public reactions to the billboard campaign might imply a certain change in Iranian public positions towards Israel, it remains clear that hostility towards Israel remains one of the consistent and uncompromising characteristics of Iran's official policy. Although the Islamic Republic's pursuit of its goals has been based on the ideology of the revolution, the post-revolutionary regime had to take into consideration Iran's national interest in shaping its policy. In the discourse that developed following the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, some scholars emphasized the Islamic dimension in Iran's policy and the revolutionary Islamic underpinnings. Others, on the other hand, emphasized the preference Tehran gives to political calculations and national interests. Both approaches, in my opinion, fail to comprehend the complexity as well as the uniqueness of Iranian strategies. Iranian domestic policy, as well as its foreign policy, is not one-dimensional. It is not based solely on an Islamic revolutionary vision or solely on political and strategic calculation. Iran is likely to continue to raise its revolutionary flag on various occasions, but wherever a militant policy based upon the revolutionary vision might compromise its vital national interests, Iran is likely to act in accordance with pragmatic considerations. Ever since the revolution, Iran's constantly declared its extensive commitment to Islamic unity and its support for Muslims all over the world. Its commitment to promote Islamic solidarity was frequently manifested by Iranian official statements and actions since early 1980s. On some occasions, however, Iran avoided support for the oppressed Muslims throughout the world, as its leadership acknowledged the need to adapt its conduct to geostrategic realities. It avoided, for example, any assistance or even expression of its support to the Chechen Muslims who had been struggling for independence from Moscow throughout the 1990s and even explicitly expressed its support for Russia's territorial integrity. Iran's foreign policy also tends to reflect the complexity of its internal political system. Constitutionally, Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei is the true leader of Iran. By contrast, the Iranian president's authority is limited, and in a way, he only implements the policies approved by the leader. This does not mean, however, that the president doesn't enjoy substantial political influence, especially in domestic policy issues, but to an extent in foreign policy as well. In some cases, differences of approach between the Supreme Leader and the President become more obvious. Iran's attitude towards the United States has reflected such differences. Recognizing the need to reach a nuclear deal with the West in order to remove the economic sanctions forced Khamenei to permit Rouhani's negotiation with the United States. Yet, unlike the President, who sees direct talks with the United States as a potential precursor to a more open policy towards the West, Khamenei remains steadfast in his opposition to any possibility of normalization. Over the last year, he vehemently attacked the United States, voicing his lack of trust. He continues to refer to the United States as a Satan and claims that the nuclear talks proved the United States' hostility towards Iran, Islam, and the Muslims. While Iran's foreign policy, including its approach toward the United States, has exhibited a high level of pragmatism, Iran's policy towards Israel remains uncompromising and consistent. Iran made its hostility towards Israel a central principle of its policy and has strongly and actively supported the struggle against Israel and the peace process. Although Iran has no border with Israel and no territorial claims on it, since the revolution, it has become an active player in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Tehran rejects Israel's right to exist. In Iran's view, Israel must be annihilated in order for the other side to survive. This approach is not only consistent with the revolutionary ideology, but also compatible with the interests of the state as perceived by the Iranian regime. The hostility towards Israel is the issue on which the Islamic Republic's revolutionary policy has most clearly remained constant and unwavering. Since the Islamic Revolution, Iran adopted a relentless anti-Israeli stance that openly calls for Israel's destruction. The hostility towards Israel is a central component in the regime's worldview, and Iran's attitude has stemmed from its refusal to accept Israel as a Jewish state. All the revolutionary goals of the regime are combined in its animosity towards Israel, which expresses itself as a basic hostility towards the Jewish state, opposition to Western imperialism and capitalism, and a hatred of the Shah who collaborated with Israel. The animosity towards Israel is the most prominent issue on which there is a near total agreement among the major political factions in the Iranian establishment. The nuclear deal not only did not produce a change in Iran's policy towards Israel, but in fact, it even obligated the Iranian regime to underscore its hostility towards Israel even more, as one of the last banners that the Islamic Revolution still has to wave. It is no wonder that German Vice Chancellor Sigmar Gabriel's interview to Der Spiegel before his October 2015 visit to Tehran struck a nerve in Iran. His visit caused uproar in Iran after he told Der Spiegel that he conditioned the normalization of bilateral relations between Iran and Germany on Iran's recognition of Israel. Mohammad Javad Zarif, Iranian foreign minister, unconditionally rejected Gabriel's position, stating that Iran was a sovereign state and would not allow any other country to dictate conditions. The Iranian media reported that in protest, he had refused to meet with the German minister. Sadegh Amouli Larijani, head of Iran's judiciary, joined the criticism and said that if he could, he would cancel Gabriel's visit. The commander of the popular resistance in the Revolutionary Guards, Basij Wing, scolded the remarks of the German minister, stating that Iranian doctrine was the destruction of Israel and that Iran wanted the end of Israel's existence. He said, "We want to separate Israel's head from its body." It sounds even better in Persian. Mikhoim ke Israel saresh betaonesh narasha. Even as Iran continues to be engaged in regional disputes, it still presents Israel as one of its two main enemies alongside the United States. In a statement issued for the Palestinian Land Day on April 2016, former Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab African Affairs, Hossein Ali Abdollahian, emphasized that Iran's support for Palestine and the struggle against terrorists were two important regional issues, and that the regional terrorist crisis should not distract the Muslim world from the issue of Palestine and Jerusalem. The Zionist terrorist regime, he said, was the main source of regional insecurity, and the third intifada of the Palestinian people was the natural response of original proprietors of Palestine to the continuing aggression of the Zionist regime. The most relentless propagator against Israel, however, was Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. His animosity towards Israel continues to be a common theme in his public statements. In a speech he made in September 2015, he said, "The essence of the existence of the Zionist regime is illegal, and its government is fake." Let me say one sentence about the Zionist regime. After the end of these nuclear negotiations, I heard that the Zionists in the occupied Palestine have said that with these negotiations, we do not have to worry about Iran for 25 years. Now, after 25 years, we will think about it. In response, I say that firstly, you will not see the next 25 years, God willing. In 25 years, there will be no such thing as the Zionist regime in the region. Secondly, during this period, the Islamic spirit of fighting and heroism and jihad will not leave the Zionists alone for 1 second. They should be aware of this. In some cases, Iranian officials have adopted an even more radical stance than Palestinian Islamic militants. On July 2016, a senior advisor to the Revolutionary Guards, Khosrow Arooj, provoked uproar after criticizing Hamas for its alleged compromising stance towards Israel. Interviewed by the Iranian Mehr news agency, he said that Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution, had strongly stated that no one had the right to sit at the negotiating table with the oppressor, that is, with Israel. Referring to talks conducted by Hamas with Turkey and Saudi Arabia, Arooj said, "We thought Hamas would be the standard bearer of the struggle against Israel until its destruction, but now we see they speak differently." Iran's hostility towards Israel is not limited to declarations. Regional developments in recent years, especially in Iraq and Syria, made it necessary for Iran to invest most of its efforts in halting the progress of ISIS and defending the Assad regime. However, Iranian attempts to encourage, promote, and finance terrorist activity against Israel did not cease. Since the 1990s, it was mainly the Revolutionary Guards elite Quds Force which has been engaged in supporting the two main Islamic Palestinian organizations, Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The Quds Force has been involved in smuggling weapons into the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. It supports the Palestinian organization with funding, training, and guidance, and has also provided technical operational support, including instructions for manufacturing weapons. Following the Hamas takeover of Gaza Strip in 2007, Iranian support transferred by the Quds Force was moved mainly to the Gaza Strip. The Quds Force provided Hamas and the PIJ with military, financial, and political support. Iran saw the establishment of Hamas rule in the Gaza Strip as a way of gaining leverage for an armed campaign against Israel and for advancing its influence in the Palestinian arena. Operation Protective Edge in July-August 2014 provided the Iranian leadership with another opportunity to support the Palestinian terrorist organizations. In a public message to the Palestinians, Quds Force Commander Qasem Soleimani declared that Palestine is a volcano that will only be extinguished when we destroy the regime of occupation, and that the events in Palestine fill the hearts of Iranians with blood, pain, and anger that will explode onto the Zionists when the time comes. The Iranian regime saw in Operation Protective Edge an opportunity to rehabilitate its relations with Hamas, which were undermined by the civil war in Syria. As Tehran increased its involvement in Syria by supporting the Assad regime, Hamas turned its back on Iran and supported the Syrian opposition. Iran's disappointment caused it to radically reduce its aid to Hamas, although it did not stop it entirely. Iran's desire to exploit the opportunity was evident in the declarations made by senior officials led by Khamenei. On July 23, 2014, Khamenei gave a speech for the annual Global Jerusalem Day. Not only did he express support for the Palestinians, but in an exceptional gesture, he also called for the arming of the West Bank. In accordance with instructions from the Supreme Leader, the IRGC Basijba paramilitary announced the opening of a bank account to raise funds for arming the Palestinians. Iran's expectations of improved relations with Hamas were met, however, with serious obstacles. Hamas found it difficult to stand by Shia Iran, which was supporting Shia-affiliated rebels, militias, and regimes against Sunni states and regimes. The Saudi Arabian campaign in Yemen in March 2015 worsened relations between Iran and Hamas even further. When the campaign began, Hamas issued a statement supporting the ousted Yemeni president and the Saudi attack. Iran regarded it as yet another threat in the face from Hamas and a proof that Hamas preferred relations with Saudi Arabia and the Sunni camp to closer ties with Tehran. However, the ties between Iran and Hamas military terrorist wing continued despite the political tensions. In practical terms, Iran's ability to send advanced rockets and weapons to the terrorist organization in Gaza by land, sea, and through the vast network of smuggling tunnels became seriously limited in the wake of Operation Protective Edge and the intensive Egyptian crackdown on the tunnels and going along Egypt's border with the Gaza Strip. Nevertheless, Iran's commitment to supporting Palestinian armed struggle remained unchanged. In a press conference held in February 2016, Iranian ambassador to Beirut, Mohammad Fathali, said that Iran would give $7,000 to the family of every Palestinian martyr, Shahid, killed in Jerusalem Intifada, and $30,000 to every family whose house had been razed by Israel. According to a report published in Iranian media in November 2015, Iran would give $2 million in aid to the families of terrorists in Gaza. Nafez al-Araj, who heads the Palestinian al-Shahid Foundation, said 4,700 families of Shahid would receive the aid. He said the money was intended to relieve the economic distress to the Shahid's families caused by the Israeli siege of Gaza and expressed his appreciation for Iran's continuing support of the Palestinian people. Despite the Iranian regime's uncompromising stance towards Israel, some budding signs of a certain change in Iranian public positions towards Israel were noticeable over the past few years. One of the main public proponents for change in Iran's policy on Israel is Tehran University professor Sadegh Zibakalam. This prominent professor has disputed over the last 3 years Iranian official position that the Islamic Republic has a special responsibility to ensure the destruction of Israel. You claim that the Islamic Republic of Iran has a responsibility to annihilate Israel, he told a seminar in Tehran, a video of which was uploaded to YouTube in June 2015. The first question I would like to put to this regime is that this responsibility to annihilate Israel is a core principle of Iranian foreign policy. Who has given this responsibility to the Islamic Republic of Iran? In November 2016, he caused uproar in Iran after he published a video showing him avoiding stepping on Israeli and American flags painted onto the ground at the entrance to the university building in Mashhad, Iran. Ziba Kalam's conduct, as well as the public reactions to the billboard campaign in Tel Aviv, seems to reflect a certain change in Iranian attitudes towards Israel. Some Iranians believe that the country's government must prefer handling the civilians' economic and social hardships to continue its support Iran's allies in the Arab world. In their opinion, there is no justification to be more Arab than the Arabs in terms of attitude towards Israel. This position, however, is exceptional and confined to circles that lack any significant political influence. Strategically, the Arab-Israeli conflict provides Iran with a context to demonstrate its regional leadership. Ideologically, Iran's hostility towards Israel provides its regime with an opportunity to show its commitment to the revolutionary ideas. In addition, Iran is not required to pay a high price for its anti-Israeli policy. It is therefore likely to continue its policy towards Israel, not just in words, but also in its actions. Furthermore, the lower it raises its revolutionary flags concerning other issues, such as political policy or its attitude towards the West, including the United States, the higher Iran is likely to raise its revolutionary flag concerning Israel in order to claim that its policy continues to reflect the revolutionary ideals. Thank you very much.